So we'll start now on Daf Chaf Dalet Amid Beis, right on top. Let's just review what we know. If we have an area that's not residential, and when they set up the mechitzos around this area that's very large, it's a Beis Sasayim, and it's Lo Hukaf Ledira, then you're not allowed to carry in it. The Rabbanim gave it like a status, like a Carmelist, you can't carry in it. And we spoke about a situation where he plants vegetables, and that's not considered Hukaf Ledira. And we mentioned that according to Rabbi Shimon, what you have is vegetables that are planted over an area that's more than a base sasayim, and therefore you're not allowed to be metaltel, you cannot carry anywhere in this karpaf. And what we started on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph, which we're going to pick up now on Amud Beis, is the question of water. Let's say you have a very large body, a pool, we'll call it, of water, and it's Yosef Mibes HaSayim. Do we consider water like vegetables, and therefore it is Lo Hukaf Ledira, it's not residential? You know, there's very little that you could do in this water, and it's not functional in any way, you know, as a residence. And therefore, if the body of water is as large as an area of Beis HaSayim, it becomes a karfaf, and you're not allowed to carry there. It has the same status as Zroim, as if you had planted vegetables. We also mentioned in the previous Omud that if instead of planting vegetables, you plant trees, and therefore you can enjoy the benefit of the trees, it's got a shade. So therefore it's not considered a karpaf. That's already hukaf ledira. And also in the case of water, then the Gemara assumes that if this water is drinkable, then that's also considered part of diur, and therefore you'd be allowed to carry in this karpaf. Omar HaMeimar, v'hu dechazya litashmishta. When do we say it was actually Rava who said that water is like trees, and it's called residential, it's not a karpav? That's only, says HaMeimar, if you can drink the water. Ava lo chazi l'tashmishta, if you cannot drink the water, then lo, then it has the same status as vegetables, not as trees, and it's not hukaf ledira, hence it has the status of a karpav, and you're not allowed to carry there. Omar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi further restricts this permissibility. He says, "Uda chazion l'tashmishta nami." Even in the case where the water is drinkable, lo amaron. We're not going to say that this is residential, and therefore it's not mavato the diur, ella unless it has the other following condition, and that is kishain biomko yoser mibeis sasayim. Okay. Now, what happens is, if the water is very deep, and that deep area of the water has the depth of what's called asara tfachim, let's say it reaches about the waist, I'm just giving you an example, and that depth of the water spans an area of Beis HaSayim plus, it's even more than Beis HaSayim. So then, ein be'omko, right? So I already gave you the next case. Maybe we'll work backwards. Im ye avol im yesh be'omko yosem esayim osem. If there's a depth of 10 tvachim of water spanning an area as large as a beis asayim meaning plus, then even though the water is drinkable, nevertheless, because of the depth of the water, it has the same status as roim, as vegetables. And it's mevatel asadir, in other words, it's no longer hukaf ledira. So when would Rava allow you to carry in this area that's more than a beis asayim? Number one, it's got to be water that is roil l'shtia, And that was the statement of Amemar here on the top of the page. And now we have another condition that's stipulated by Rav Ashi, and that is that the water is not deep. I mean, it may be deep in a certain area, but only in a limited area. But if it's a deep body of water that spans over a base of sign plus, then it has the same status as a karpaf as the case of planting vegetables. Now, I have a number of notes here that I wanted to share with you. Two major notes. One, he invokes a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos about something called Rakak Mayim. And that's a pool of water. So imagine you have a public thoroughfare, and in the public thoroughfare there is a pool of water. And the Gemara establishes that if that water is 10 tefachim deep, then it undermines the status of Rishus HaRabim. In other words, it's no longer something that's considered usable, you know, that you want to walk around in, right? Just like we said in a vegetable patch, you don't want to walk around in the vegetable patch. You'll step on the cabbage and the heads of cabbage, right? So here too, the Gemara says that Rishus HaRabim requires a certain comfortable comfortable walking through the Rishus HaRabim. And now, strewn across the Rishus HaRabim is this pool of water, and the Gemara says that if it's 10 tefachim deep, then it's mevatel Rishus HaRabim. However, if the water is less than 10 tefachim deep, then, just like we saw in the case of trees planted in a karpaf, it is not mevatel the diur, which means that it's still considered residential. So too, in the case of shallow water, and the water is drinkable, so it's royal tashmish, and it doesn't interfere because it's not so deep, then it has the din of nitayim, of trees, and it's not mevatel the diur. If the water, on the other hand, is not drinkable, then you're not going to really enjoy the benefit of this water, and therefore that gives it the status of a vegetable patch, which we said is mevatel the diur, and it gives the area the status of a karpaf. And he says the following: Af kishe'en ha'mayim amukim asor. Even if the water is very shallow, but the water is not drinkable, then it's considered a karpaf. It's mevatel the diur. But if it's royal tashmish, and it's got water that you could drink from, and it's very shallow water, meaning it's less than 10 tefachim, that's called meshamshin l'tzorach dira. It's considered a residential area, and the iser of karpaf does not apply. Okay. So you really have to check out the water and see whether the water is drinkable or it's foul water. Now, there's a Tosus here, Dibra Maska Lo, which is on the top of Chavdal and Amid Beis, and Tosus invokes the Shita Rab Shimon that we mentioned earlier, that if the vegetable patch is larger than a Besa Sayim, then you're not allowed to carry anywhere in the Karpaf, and that's Mavatel Dira, that's not Hukaf Ladira, because the vegetable patch, you don't want to go in there and tromps around. And he says, V'yafkad, here too, says Tosus, b'mokom hamayim, if there's water that's more than a besa sayim, is that water osrim es kol karpaf? The entire karpaf becomes osur betiltul. So imagine you have part of the karpaf that is dry, but you have a spans, an area of besa sayim plus, which is wet, and because it's wet, it's no longer usable, it's not residential, as we said before, it's not drinkable, etc., etc., then, according to Rabbi Shimon, you're not allowed to carry even on the dry part. And that, you remember, we discussed when we had a karpaf, which was planted zroim, but on the other hand, there were certain areas on the sides that were not planted, and they too, according to Rabbi Shimon, are included in this one entity called a karpaf, which was generated by the zroim, and you're not allowed to carry even in the area that's not planted. However, the chachamim disagree with Rabbi Shimon, and that's back on Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph. And af im ein b'mokom amayim rak beis sasayim also l'taltim kov shekol akarpaf hukos l'dira harei hu kechotzer u'mokom amayim nechshav karpaf v'yoso l'taltim v'chotzer l'karpaf kevin shem prutzim zel azeim osrim zel ze. Alright, so this reflects a principle that we've been touching upon here, there, and elsewhere, about something that's called parutz lemakom sha'asu b'taltel. And he says the following, that if, let's say, in a certain area there's no water, I'll read it again, im ein b'makom amayim rak beis sasayim. So what happens in the following scenario? You basically have a chotzer that opens up into a karpaf. Why? Because he's got an area there outside his house that is not inundated with water. I'm just using that phrase. And let's say the water itself has the shear of a karpaf, so that area, which would normally be considered a chotzer, and under certain conditions he'd be allowed to carry from his house into the chotzer, but this chotzer now opens up into this pool of water, which is a karpaf. And he says the following, that kevan shein prutzim ze leze, meaning the karpaf opens into the chotzer, and the chotzer opens into the karpaf, is osel taltel. So you're not allowed to carry from the chotzer into the karpaf. The din ze eno el biofen sheb mokom amayim hu miyut bekarpaf, aval im hoye mokom ze rov hakarpaf, af im lo hoye bo beisosayim hoye osel etaltel b'chol hakarpaf. Now he wants to know what happens if you have a karpaf and most of it is zroim, part of it is not zroim. So he says the following, that once you have Zroim, which is Rov HaKarpaf, then it prohibits even the mute within the Karpaf. And he says the same thing would apply here to the water. So let's say you had a water, this body of water, this pool of water is less than a full Karpaf, but it's the majority of the Karpaf. That would be enough to generate an Iser Karpaf. Okay. All right, there's a lot more here, but I think for our purposes, this is what we can accomplish. Now the Gemara rejects Rav Ashi. V'lav milsehi. We're not going to worry about Rav Ashi, who, as you recall, added another stimulation that the water should not be too deep. And the Gemara compares it to another case. Midi dahavi akaria deperi. Let's say you have a very large collection of fruits that are piled one on top of the other, and they reach the height of Asar Tfachim. That's called Akaria is a conjugation of the word Kri. Kri is a pile, a heap. And if this pile of heap, even if it be very, very wide, it's not Mavatal Diurim Bekarpaf, it doesn't have the status of Bittel Dir, like your Rav Ashi, your case of the Mayim that's very deep. And again, that depth of the water, which is below the surface of the water, equals or parallels the height of this Kri, of this heap of fruits. And since he can enjoy the benefits of these fruits, that's called Litzarth Dira. And we don't care about this tremendous height. Again, height is the same as depth. Just that one goes up and one goes down, but it's all the same. So therefore, if the water is drinkable, then they have the same status as peros, as fruits, and that's called meshamesh litzorech dira. It is part of residence that you have access to water that you can drink. And therefore, even if the water is 10 tfachim deep, then it's not mevatel lidir, and the Gemara ends with that final line, rejecting Rav Ashi. So whereas Rav Ashi says that once it becomes very deep, the water now interferes with my dira. You and I might say let it be his swimming pool, but the Gemara is talking about dira. And the Gemara finally rejects Rav Ashi and says that even if it's 10 tefachim deep, it still is not mevatel dira and it's not a karpaf, just like the case of peros, which are edible, and even if they're very tall, you know, heaped up 10 tefachim in a mound, it still is not mevatel dira. Okay. Now, the next piece of Gemara is also about a makom, a very large area that has Beis Asayim plus, and it's lo hukaf ledira, and the Gemara wants to know exactly how I could fix this up and make it a residential area in which I can carry it. And honestly, to learn this Gemara without a diagram is murder, but thank God in my Masiftin, I haven't checked the English translation, but I'm going to assume that the English translation also has a diagram, because this sugya without a diagram is very difficult. Okay, so what is the scenario? Hahi rechava. Rechava is an open span, spans of ground, of airspace on a ground that is more than a Beis Asayim. Dahavi befum nara. Okay, now the word fum, which means literally a mouth in Aramaic, is an opening. So when you want to say that something is opens into something, you say it's afum. It's like on the mouth of. And what we're going to see is that this rechava has two openings to it. Okay? One opening we're going to see is to what's called a mavui, and the other opening on the other side of the rechava is to a shvil shel krumim. Right, like when they planted vines in rows, they allowed a certain pathway through the rows. That's called a shvil. So what you have is a rechava, which is a kind of, imagine a box, a rectangular box in the middle. And you've got an opening, let's say on the north, opening on the south. The opening on the north takes you into a mavui. And the opening on the bottom side, in the south we call it, takes you into a shvil shel krumin, into this this row that is not planted with vines. And there are vines on both sides of that row. And our sugya here is going to deal, focus with the rechava, and we want to know if this rechava is larger than a Beis Asayim, and it was not hukaf ledira, how can we allow tiltal, let's say from the mavui into the rechava, or if I'm going through the shvil, sheben akramim into the rechava. The rechava itself should have the status of a karpaf, because it's lo hukaf ledira, and it's more than a Beis Asayim. And Abai here is going to present a few possibilities and reject some of them in figuring out how you could be metaken, so to speak, the rechava, so that you're allowed to carry in and out of this rechava. And it's not called hukaf shalola dira, it's not a karpaf. And Rav, of course, is going to reject Abai, as usual. But let's see. So the Gemara says the following. Befum nahara. Okay, now that rechava, if you take one of its exits, will eventually take you to a body of water, nahara. Okay, now we'll try to figure out in this sugyo, that's one of our challenges, what is the significance of this description, that the rechava eventually, when you take one of its exits, you'll find yourself in a river. And the chad gisa means on one side, and on the other side, havi psiach lemasa, it opens up into the city. So let's picture it this way. This is the way he draws the diagram. Up on top, he's got, that we said. Yeah. So on the northern side, I call it, meaning on, if the Rechava is right here in the middle of that diagram, then if you take the entrance on the top of the Rechava, you will enter to a Mavui, and that Mavui spills into the city itself. If, on the other hand, you take the southern bottom exit out of the Rechava, then you enter into a Shvil Shel Kramim, and the Shvil Shel Kramim ends up in a river. B'chad Gisa Havi Psiach L'Shvil Shel Kramim. He writes here, Haya Pasuach L'Shvil Ha'over Ben HaKramim. Okay. Now, it seems that a Mavui, as we know for many, many months already, has houses on both sides. And when you want to get out into the Rishus HaRabim, you go through the entrances into this alleyway, this Mavui, and that takes you out to Rishus HaRabim. But in this case of the Shvil Shel Kramim, there are also houses on both sides of the Shvil. So it's really interesting because, you know, you imagine in your mind that the Shvil Shel Kramim borders on both its right and its left with vines, rows of vines. But that's not exactly the case. There will be rows of vines that smack up against the Shvil, but there are also houses that are, so you have the greenery, if you want to see it, around, and then you have little boxes for houses. So that's called Batim Psuchim L'Shvil. So there are houses that open up into this Shvil. Okay. Then it says the following, Shvil Shel Kramim. Now you've exited from the bottom exit of the Rechava into the Shvil Shel Kramim. Where do you exit? At the end of the Shvil. Havi Solik Leguda Denara. And he ends up on the shore of a river. Now, he adds the following stipulations in the Bir. And this is all based on Rashi. He says, it's also in the second toast on the page Ahi, he says that the Shvil and the Mavui, both of which, as we said before, spill into the Rechava, have one basic common denominator. And that is, they both have three mechitzos. Now, let's just figure this out. In the case of the Mavui, I see two machitzos. I see, you know, the wall on the right side of the wall on the left side. The alleyway takes you through the middle between these two walls, and it spills into the Rechava. So the question is, where is the third machitza? So he writes that Af Rosh HaMavui HaPasuch Le'ir HaYasasum. Very strange. You know, the impression you got was that, you know, you go through this Mavui and you end up into Rosh HaSarab. Well, that would make it into a Mavui Mefulosh. You'll see soon that Abai is going to set up a Lechi and a Korah here. So a Mavui could not lend itself to Lechi or Korah unless it's a Mavui Sasu, and it has a third Mechitza. So he says that when you get up to the Again, if you're going from the Rechava into the Mavui and you get up to the top or the end of the Mavui and you're entering into the street of the city, it's Sasum. I think what he has in mind, if I'm not mistaken, is that there's a door and the door is locked, but he can open that door and go out into the city. Or he gives another possibility here, Yesham Tzuras HaPesach. Or when he gets that door, going out of the Mavui into the city, he's got, you know, two posts on the right and the left that are vertical, and he's got a horizontal post on top, and that gives him a Tzuras HaPesach. Again, all this is necessary in order to understand how Lechi V'Kora are going to help you with this Mavui. Because again, if the Mavui is open to Rosh Hashanah on both sides, then it only has two mechitzos. Then he says Hashvil, right? So now on the bottom side, he's going out of the Rechava into the Shvil Shel Kromim. Gamken, yesh lo shalosh mechitzos. How do you get three mechitzos in the Shvil? He says Shehayu lo shtei mechitzos la'arko, right? There are two mechitzos that surround the Shvil, going north and south. Uberosho apone l'nahar, and we said that when you go out of the Shvil Shel Kromim, you end up at the riverbanks. Gidas hanor shimsha kimechitza. The shore of the river functions as a mechitza, third mechitza for this shvil. Now, how is the shore a mechitza? So, without reading the next line, which I'll read to you in a minute, I think the answer is poshut, that the mounds of sand are 10 tfachim above the water in the river. So that what you have is a mechitza, that you might not see it with your eye, but the halacha sees it, of asar tfachim high. So let's see if I'm right. He says, Gidas hanor hoisa amuka yoser mi asar tfachim. Right, so you have a depth from the top of the Gida is the shore, of 10 tfachim. You have a drop of 10 tfachim. Now he says the following. What is Abai's problem? He says, Hoya osu l'taltel, lo berachava, lo b'mavui, v'lo b'shvil. All three are knocked out of the heta tiltel. Why? Harachava lo hukva l'dira. The Rechav itself is more than a base of Sayim, and it's lo hukaf ledira, v'lachain dino kikarmelis sha'asa l'taltil bo. So you can't carry within the Rechav right now. Again, we're going to try to see how to solve this problem, because of its status as a karpav. Number two, ha'movi v'ashvil, kevon she'hem prutzim b'miluam l'Rechav, Shehi Karmelis. So you have any area that's surrounded by three mechitzas, but it ends up in a Karmelis. Hoya osel etaltav lehem, and sheyase sham lechi okora. And this is very familiar to us. You have a mavui that ends up in a Rosh Hashanah Rabin, and even though the mavui on a Doraisa level is Rosh Hashanah Yochid, it's surrounded by three mechitzas, a mavui sasum. Nevertheless, since it opens at one end into Rosh Hashanah Rabim, it's poritz b'milua l'makom isu tiltel, and it requires a lechi or a mavui. And the shvil has the same exact status. Why? Because if you walk into or up the shvil into the rechava, since the rechava has the status of a karmelis, it's got a status of a karpav, shalohuka ledir, and it's yosemi beis osayim. Therefore, the shvil itself will also need a lechi and a korah. The ata rotsu b'nei ha'ir lehaskil l'shtamesh v'rechavizu. So Abai's issue is going to be that the people in the city, they want to be able to have access to the rechava, which again is a karpa shlohuka fledira, so we have to fix that up. V'dona gemar keitzad nitan l'taken es rechava. How can we fix up the rechava? Shetichashev kimukefes l'dira. V'yamuta l'taltuba. V'aflo tesar samovi v'ashvil. Ah, you see, we can kill three birds with one stone. Usually we kill two birds with one stone. But here we're going to be, because the only iser in carrying in the mavui or in the shvil is because each of those spill into a makom iser tiltul, which is called the karpav. If we could be metaking the karpav and convert it into hukaf ledira, then automatically you're allowed to carry in the mavui or in the shvil without any lechi v'korah, because what you have is a mavui that spills into a makom heter tiltul. Right, the whole reason we need a korah mavui, a korah or a lechi, is because the mavui spills into a rishus harabim or into a karmelist. But here, once we convert the rechava into a makom hukaf ledira, then you're allowed to carry in the rechava. Mimele, you're allowed to carry the mavui and the shvil, and everybody's going to be happy. Because as we say, the mavui up on the top spills into the rishus harabim. The people in the rishus harabim will be allowed to carry in the mavui, and from the mavui into the rechava, and from the rechava into the shvil. And everything would be hanky-dory. So I'm Rabbi Hechi Navid. So Abai's talking to himself. And he says, what can we do? How can we mat tiltul in the rechav? He says, if we're going to lavid le machitza guda denara, let's say we take what's called a machitza shel konim, right? You set up vertical reeds and you make a machitza on the shore of the river, and that would mean that the shvil becomes now a continuation of the rechava. In other words, what happens is that when you leave the rechava through that southern entrance, as we call it, the bottom entrance into the shvil shel kramim, that's really the hemshech. You know, you're going from one place and continuing to another place. And that's called Dover Echadheim. Then we would view the Rechava and the Shvil as Dover Echad. V'amachitza sha'osim achshav al sfas hanor techoshev kilu nases b'rechava atzma. You remember that we discussed at great length that in order to make the karpaf hukaf l'dira, you have to make sure that the hekef machitzas was done for the sake of dira. Well, guess what? This Rechava had machitzos, but they weren't for the sake of dira. So what do? You actively create a machitza, and now it's hukaf ledira. But you'll ask me the following question. What do you mean you actively create a machitza? You made a machitza for the shvil. Okay, fine. The shvil is not my issue. My issue is the karpav, is the Rechava. The Rechava has the dimensions of a karpav. So why does the hekev machitza of the shvil, that action of putting up machitza for the shvil, how does that impact on the rechava? And the answer is that it's techoshev kir rechava mukefes ledira, because now the shvil is going to be the continuation of the rechava, and we consider it all as one entity, kir rechava atzma. This is all Rashi and the Rashba. So Abai rejects this. This possibility is not going to work out. Why? She'eno se'mechitza al gabi mechitza. Abai has a rule that you don't set up a mechitza on top of mechitza. In other words, once you already have a mechitza, it's meaningless to add another mechitza to the first mechitza. He says the following. What are you doing now? You're setting up this machitza shel kanim of reeds, and you want to use that to make the rechava into a makom mukaf ledira. He says the following. Ein moil. That's not going to be meaningful. It's not effective. Rak im yifrotz pirtza, unless you open it up in a certain way, in order to be mevatel the mechitza. And now you could re-establish a mechitza because you've completely neutralize the first mechitza, and now you set up the second mechitza as mukaf ledira. But here, you already had a mechitza. Why? Because you remember we said that the mound of sand at the bank or the shore of this river is 10 tfachim high, and therefore you already had a mechitza there. And that mechitza, which was like a natural mechitza, was not set up in order to be in order to establish a hekef dira for the rechava, and to put up another mechitza there would be meaningless. Why? Because ein osim mechitza al gabi mechitza, kriyesha mechitza, and basically, in a funny sort of sense, when you put up this mechitza shalkanim at the riverbank, you're basically adding another 10 tvachim of a mechitza to a mechitza of 10 tvachim. So you'll end up with a mechitza of 20 tvachim, meaning you're just raising the mechitza higher than it was before. You know, in a synagogue, if you have a low mechitza, it's very meaningful to raise the mechitza if it's too low. But in the case of mechitzas of Shabbos, to raise a mechitza beyond the 10 tfachim is totally meaningless. What do you gain by that? So now you're going to say, well, I raised the mechitza another 10 tfachim, so therefore I makif the karpaf of the rechava for dira purposes. What do you mean? You're raising the mechitza. Raising the mechitza is meaningless. You know, you can't say you put up a mechitza. If you want to destroy a mechitza and then replace it, that's one thing. But that's not what you're doing over here. All right. So now Abai wants to suggest and reject another possible solution to this problem. He says, "V'le'evid le'tzuras ha'pesach afuma de'shvil shel kramin." Right? We said that this shvil shel kramin has a top and a bottom, right? The bottom, we said, borders on the seashore, on the riverbank. The top is the entranceway into the Rechava, from the Rechava into the Shvil. So let's set up a Tzuras HaPesach at the opening of the Shvil to the Rechava. Now, that Tzuras HaPesach will be matir carrying in the shvil shel kramim. Why? We said the shvil shel kramim is considered mukaf shalosh mechitzos, but it spills into a rechava which is a karmelis, and therefore it needs a tikkun. Okay, I'm going to set up a tikkun, a tzuras ha-pesach, at the entryway from the rechava into the shvil, or vice versa, whichever way you want to say it. And that's a meaningful mechitza, because that mechitza will be matir carrying in the shvil shel kramim. Because now I've put up virtually a fourth mechitza that surrounds the shvil shel kramim. Now, once I'm putting up that mechitza to be matir the shvil shel kramim, that mechitza could serve another function, and I'm going to declare now that I want to use this rechava, and I'm doing a hekef mechitzas letzorach dira for the shimush of that rechava. Is Kevon, I'm just going to read the beer here. He says, Kevon shehimo il lahatir tiltul bashvil, techashiv hi kasias mechitza af legabea rechava. The Kevon shehinaseis l'shem dira, now he's setting up this mechitza in order to use it for his purposes. So that's called l'shem dira. Is therefore techashiv harechava kemukefes l'dira. This sounds like a very good idea. So Abai rejects this as well. He says, the Asu Gamle Shdoyonle. Okay, this is a concept that's very similar to what we discussed of Gideon Bokimbo, if you remember. When you have an imaginary mechitza, and then you have animals that, you know, move through the mechitzas. We spoke about Pasi Buros in that context. So here also, Asule Gmale, Gmale are camels, and Shdoyonle. Shdoyanli. Yavoag malim aboyim ya'ir, lishvil shal kromim, derech amovir chava, kidei lishtos me'anor. So you have these gemalim that are coming from the city, they go through the mavui into the rechava, and from the rechava into the shvil shel kromim, until they end up in the at the riverbank, and that's where they drink. Is yiplu yapilu es tzuras ha-pesach. Ah, so it's not the way I said it. He's not learning my pshat. He's learning that the problem is that the tzuras ha-pesach is not stationary. It's not solid. It's not reliable, because the gemalim, they're carrying whatever it is, the big camels, and they're carrying whatever, they are going to break down the Tzuras HaPesach. So that the Gemara envisions the Shvil shall Kromim as being very narrow, such that when the camels come through, with they're laden with burdens on both sides of the camel, they're going to come through the Tzuras HaPesach, which is at the Pesach of a very narrow Shvil Shel Kromim, they're going to knock over the Tzuras HaPesach. V'im yasenu tsar yoser al yidei Tzuras HaPesach, yidchok es mokom mavar hagmalim, v'yiplu hagmalim es tzura, yapilu hagmalim es Tzuras HaPesach. In other words, let's say you would decide that since the Shvil Shel Kromim is very narrow, you're going to put up a Tzuras HaPesach that's very narrow. Well, if the Tzuras HaPesach is going to be narrow, then these big camels are going to come and the Tzuras HaPesach is a pushover, if you don't mind that phrase. Elam Rabaye, let's fix up the Mavui, right? We tried with the Shvil, and that didn't work, but let's try with the Mavui. Li Eved Lechi. Okay. Now, wait a minute. We didn't get to the Mavu yet. So again, we're still at the Shvil Shel Krum. So is there any way of setting up a mechitza at the entranceway of the Shvil Shel Krum into the Rechava in such a way that the Gemalim will not knock down that mechitza? So the answer is with a lechi. Our salvation is a lechi salvation. Yeah. If you know the history here, I think there's still a museum of the lechi, right? The lechi. So what happens? He sets up this lechi at the opening of the Shvil Shel Kromim, a pischa de Shvil Shel Kromim. Now, how wide is a lechi? If you recall, a lechi is a mashu. There's no minimum width to a lechi. And therefore the Gemalim, as they go through this Shvil, as narrow as it is, they don't have any contact with the Lechi. They're not going to break down the Lechi. Demigu de Mahanya l'Shvil Shel Kromim Mahanya Nami l'Rechava. Once the Lechi is meaningful to be Matu Tiltul in the Shvil Shel Kromim, so therefore it's also meaningful and effective as a mechitza for the rechava, which again is now being put up l'shem dira. Now, notice that Abai is pulling a little bit of a trick here over our eyes. He builds it on a migu. Without this migu, I would have said, you would have said that who are you fooling over here? A lechi is not a mechitza. Lechi is very nice. You have a place that's mukaf sholosh mechitzos, and you want to make it sasim on the fourth side, so you put up a lechi. But to say that a lechi is it has the status of a mechitza, and therefore it's this mechitza is now being put up specifically to be makif the rechava and make it into a karpaf shahukaf ledira, that's a real stretch. So Abai feels compelled to introduce the concept of migu. And what does migu mean? Migu means that the halacha gives a certain significance to something, upgrades its status in a legal way, and once having done so vis-a-vis or relative to one area of halacha, we can now use that already for other areas of halacha. So that since the halacha sees this lechi as being very significant, it's matir tiltul in the shvil shel kramim. So the Torah already upgraded that lechi to a status of a fourth enclosure, and let that enclosure also serve at the same time, once you validate it as an enclosure, to be makif the karpaf, which in this case is the rechov. Omalei Rav. Rav doesn't like it. He says in Cain, he says what's the word in English? Something for trouble. You're heading for trouble. Okay, I forgot the phrase that I want to use. Why? Yomru, because people are going to make the mistake that lechi moel l'shvil shel kramim di alma. Okay. Now, this case of a shvil shel kramim is very unique because the shvil leads you directly to the seashore. And the seashore is the fourth machitza, or I should say actually the third machitza, the lechi will be the fourth machitza, but it's the machitza for the shvil shel kramim. Again, that's only because the shvil shel kramim ends in the gudas hanor, in the shore, which we said is ten tvachim, etc., etc. But what happens if you have a shvil which doesn't end up in the river? Not every shvil shel kramim, terminates in the riverbanks. So people are going to think, wait a second, how are you matir a shvil? Well, last year, the rabbis told us that we could matir the shvil by putting up a lechi. So let's do the same this year. The only trouble is that last year the rabbanon allowed it because the shvil ended up in the Guda Denara, which gave it a third machitza, so now you can be matir it with a lechi at the other end, right? But in the case of a regular classic shvil, which does not end up in a riverbank, there's no third machitza, and therefore a lechi will not be effective to be matir it. So Rava says you're putting yourself into a very tricky situation over here, because Yomru, people will say next year that Moil, Lechi Moil, L'Shvil Shel Kramim. Like there's an entity out there that people call a Shvil Shel Kramim. They don't know the difference between one Shvil Shel Kramim and another Shvil Shel Kramim. I guess they were, these were areas in the north of Israel where they were growing grapes, and there were wineries, and so forth and so on. So they had something called the Shvil Shel Kramim. It was known that if you wanted to get out of the Kramim, out of the vineyards, and you wanted to go to the more populated, larger areas, you went through the Shvil. Every Kerem had its own Shvil. And once you start allowing in one particular case, because of the unique circumstances in that Shvil, to put up a lechi and be matir tiltul, people are going to equate every single shvil shel kramim with your case and think you could be matir a lechi. Meanwhile, your case was very unique because it was a shvil shel kramim that ended up at the riverbank, and they're going to extrapolate and derive the wrong conclusions. When a classic shvil shel kramim only has two mechitzos, and you can't be matir two mechitzos with a lechi or a korah. Elam Arava, Rava says, I have the right suggestion to solve this problem. Avdina le lechi lepischa dimosa. Let's put a lechi. All right, so I had jumped the gun before I mentioned the mavui. Now we're ready for it. Now we're ready for the mavui. And he says the following. Right, the mavui on its northern end spills into the Rosh Hashanah, into the city. But when you go down through the Mavu, you end up in the Rechava. Now, we said before that when the Mavu on the top enters into the city, then we have a Tzuras HaPesach, or maybe you have some sort of a Kosel with a little opening So this is called a mavui sasum, and it has three mechitzos. The problem is that it opens up into a rechava. Now, to be matir, the mavui for tiltul, I need a lechi or a kora at the end, you know, the southern tippy end of the mavui, where it enters into the rechava. Because the rechava is a makom isu tiltul, it's a karpav, it's a karmelis, and now you have a mavui that ends up in a karmelis, you need a lechi or mavui. A lechi or a kora, excuse me. So Rava says, let's put up a lechi. And again, now we're going to apply migu, but you'll see that we don't have the, you know, the hot water that we mentioned before about the mistaken impression that the spectator will come to. He says, where am I? Avdina le lechi lepischa de masa. Okay. The migu de mahani le lechi le masa, so that once the lechi is effective vis-a-vis the mavui, is memele mahani nami le rechava. Now it becomes a hekef ledira for the rechava, and again it's based on Abai's migu. So Rava basically is on the same radar screen as Abai. He accepts the concept of migu, and since the lechi is considered like a fourth mechitza for the mavui, it now becomes a mechitza for the rechava as well, and now it becomes hukaf ledira. Now, in this case, there's no problem with the spectator. Why? Because you have a classic mavui that has three machitzas, because we're assuming, again, on the northern part there's a machitza, a kosel, and now you just put up a lechi in the area between the rishus harabim, so to speak, and the mavui, which means, in this case, the rechava and the mavui. At that entranceway that leads you from the mavui into the rechava, that's where you put up your lechi. Okay. Hilkach. So the Gemara now derives a conclusion from Rava that you should be allowed to be metaltil now from the rechava into the mavui. I mean, that we never discussed. We were discussing how to be matir tiltul in the mavui. Had to be matil tiltul in the rechava. Had to be matil tiltul in the shvil shel kramen. Now we want to know: can you be matil tiltul from one of those to the other? Hilkach tiltule b'masa gufa shari. Right, so you would be allowed to be metaltil inside the mavui because we now have a lechi to the mavui. That's okay. V'tiltule b'rechava gufa. Right, you're allowed to be metaltal within the rechava, shari. That's because the lechi now makes it into a karpaf that was hukaf ledira. Mimasa l'rechava, but what's the deal if he wants to carry from the mavui into the rechava, or vice versa, merechava l'masa? On that we're going to have a controversy. Pligi ba Rav Acha v'Ravina. Chad Omar, according to one opinion, Asur. V'chad Shari. And one says it's Mut. And now, we turn to Daf Chaf Hei Omer Aleph. So the Gemara wants to know, how do we analyze these two opinions as to whether or not you're allowed to carry from the Mavi into the Rechava, vice versa? Mandis Shari, according to the Mandi Omer, who says it's Mutter, Doleka Diurin, right? Ein Chatzeros Obatim Suchim L'Rechava. Right, you don't have any houses that open up into the Rechava, and therefore, the Mavi that opens up into the Rechava is Kol HaRechava Rishus B'nei HaMavi Hu. Now the B'nei HaMavi are allowed to go into the Rechava, and there are no other people that border or use that rechava other than the B'nai HaMavi, so they don't have to square off with anyone else. Mandi Asar, the one who says you're not allowed to be metalta from the Mavui into the rechava, is the Zimnin, the Havi Bei Diurin. Maybe we should be afraid that those people who do have houses in close vicinity, close proximity to the Rechava, will now open up some Pesach or entrance way from their houses going into the Rechava. Sheyiftachu hadorim bebatim svivas Rechava Pesach mi beisam l'Rechava. V'yugam lahem rishus b'Rechava v'yasu l'bnei amovi l'taltu sham b'lo sheyasu eruv. Now we need an eruv here because we have house owners that have access to the Rechava. So in addition to the Mavui using this Rechava, now you have other houses using the Rechava. They have to get them all together.
They'll
come to be metaltel even after the Bnei Abatim make Psochim that open up into the Rechava. Now, the one last question that I want to leave you with, and Belinetta will pick this up tomorrow, is whether or not you can set up an Eruv between the Bnei Hamovui and the Bnei Abatim who spill into this Rechava after they open their Pesach. And then, once you set up that Eruv, now we're going to go back and we're going to allow carrying from the Rechava into the Mavui or vice versa. Okay, then, so we'll stop here on the top of Daf Chaf Hey, Amid Aleph, and the Mirz Hashem will finish it off tomorrow.